One God, One Message. Chapter 12. The Law of Sin and Death. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Jesus of Nazareth. John 8:34. Adam and Eve had disobeyed their creator-owner. Like Satan, they lost their connection with God and became slaves of sin. Like children who have disobeyed their father's clear command, Adam and Eve no longer wanted to be with the one who loved and cared for them. Feelings of delight and confidence had been displaced by feelings of fear, defilement, and shame. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Genesis 3:8. Adam and Eve were now contaminated by sin, causing them to want to hide from their Maker and Master. Their newly acquired conscience gave them a sense of good and evil, instinctively teaching them that only holy people can live in the presence of a holy God. Adam and Eve were no longer pure before God, and they knew it. The close bond between God and man was broken. The relationship was dead. One day, as I was chatting with some men under a tree near a mosque, the conversation turned to the subject of sin and death. I broke a branch off the tree and asked them, "Is this branch dead or alive?" One of the men answered, "It's dying." Another said, "It is dead." I chided him, "How can you say it's dead? Look how green it is. It looks alive, but it's dead because it's separated from its source of life," he said. "Exactly," I replied. "You've just given an accurate definition of death according to the scriptures. Death is not annihilation, but separation from the source of life. That is why, when a loved one dies, even before the body is buried, we say, 'He's gone.' We say that because we know the person's spirit has left his body. Death means separation." Next, I reviewed for the man the command God had given to Adam. Then I asked him, "What did God say would happen to Adam if he sinned against God? Did he tell Adam that if he ate of the forbidden fruit, he must start doing religious rituals, praying, fasting, giving alms, and attending a mosque or church?" "No," they replied. "God said Adam would die." "Right. God made it clear. The punishment for sin would be death. But tell me, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, did they fall over dead that same day?" "No," they answered. "Well then, what did God mean when he told Adam, 'In the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die'?" From there I went on to further describe God's definition of death, a three-dimensional separation brought on by man's choice to disobey his Creator. The threefold separation caused by sin. 1. Spiritual death. Separation of a person's spirit and soul from God. On the day Adam and Eve first sinned against God, they died spiritually. Like a branch broken from the tree, Adam and Eve's close relationship with the Lord God had died. And the news gets worse. All of Adam and Eve's descendants are a part of that same spiritually dead branch. In Adam all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Despite the clear teaching of the scriptures, many people who concede that the human race descended from Adam also insist that newborn babies are born with a pure, sinless nature. Consider again the severed branch. What part of it is dead as a result of being separated from the tree? The entire branch is dead, including the little twigs at its tip. If those twigs and leaves could talk, perhaps they would say something like, "Now wait a minute. It's not our fault the branch got broken from the tree. We're not affected by what someone else did." But they are affected. In like manner, God's word declares the entire human race to be in Adam. All of us are a part of the same separated fallen branch, and we suffer the consequences. Like it or not, when Adam sinned, he contaminated himself and the entire human family yet to come from him. The village from which I write gets its water from the Senegal River, located several kilometers away. Our village has a well, but no one drinks its water. Why not? The well is contaminated. Its water is saline. Every bucket of water drawn from this well is contaminated with salt. Not a drop is pure. No, not one. In a similar way, every person born of Adam is contaminated with sin. That is why even little children sin, naturally. Sin is part of their nature. Being good and kind requires a conscious effort and struggle, whereas being selfish and hurtful involves no special effort. The prophet David explains why we sin instinctively. I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 51:5. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Psalm 55:3. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Psalm 14:3. The Wolof people of Senegal have several great proverbs which have helped some understand this truth. For example, they say, "A rat does not beget offspring which do not dig." Likewise, sin-tainted Adam could not beget offspring who do not sin. Another proverb says, "An epidemic does not confine itself to the one who caused it." Tragic but true. Like an inherited birth defect or an infectious disease, Adam's sin nature has spread to us and our children. Through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Romans 5:12. Notice the first phrase, "Through one man sin entered," and the last phrase, "all sinned." Each of us is a sinner by birth and by practice. We cannot blame Adam for sins we commit. Once a person is old enough to know right from wrong, God holds him or her responsible. The scripture says, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." Isaiah 59:2. The entire human branch is separated from its creator. Man is spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. Number 2, physical death. Separation of a person's spirit and soul from his or her body. When Adam and Eve sinned, they not only died spiritually, they also began to die physically. Even as the leaves on a broken branch do not dry up instantly, so Adam and Eve's bodies did not drop dead the day they sinned. Nonetheless, their flesh had been invaded by death, an enemy from which they could not escape. For Adam and Eve and their descendants, it was only a matter of time until physical death would catch up with them. "Death rides a fast camel," says an Arab proverb. No one can escape death. God's word puts it this way: "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Hebrews 9:27. Number 3, eternal death. Separation of a person's spirit, soul, and body from God forever. A living branch is designed to bear leaves, flowers, and fruit. Dead branches are gathered and burned. When Adam sinned against God, he forfeited the privilege for which he was designed, to glorify God and live with him throughout eternity. Man, created to exist forever, had disobeyed his creator-owner. The penalty was eternal separation from God. Unless the Lord in his mercy provided a remedy for Adam and Eve's sin, once their bodies died, they faced the horror of being forever quarantined in the garbage dump prepared for the devil and his demons. The Bible calls this the second death because it occurs after physical death. It's also called everlasting punishment. The notion of a temporary purgatory from which people will one day escape is the invention of man. If everlasting punishment seems unfair or unreasonable, perhaps that is because of our failure to understand the nature of God, the gravity of sin, and the concept of eternity. Later we will reflect on God's purity and sin's defilement. As for the concept of eternity, we might as well admit it. The very word eternity overloads our mental capacities, since our frame of reference is time. Eternity is timeless. If we imagine someone spending billions of years in hell, our thinking is inaccurate. Eternity is not composed of years. It is an eternal now. Once people enter that inescapable realm, they will comprehend its solemn logic. Do you remember the account of the rich man who ended up in hell from chapter 3? Well, he is still there. God is clear about his entrance requirements for paradise. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. Revelation 21:27. On this point, there will be no compromise. Just as God's natural laws caused a severed branch to die and wither, so God's spiritual laws require sin to be punished with spiritual, physical, and eternal separation. It's time to return to Adam and Eve where we last saw them, attempting to hide from God among the trees of the garden. Before they sinned, Adam and Eve had been surrounded by God's glory and perfection. They were totally comfortable in the presence of their Creator. However, the moment they broke God's law, they viewed themselves differently. Now they were uncomfortable, not just because of their physical nakedness, but also because of their spiritual nakedness. Before they transgressed, Adam and Eve were God-conscious and felt no shame. Genesis 2:25. Now, they had become unnaturally self-conscious and felt unclean before their holy God. Adam and Eve had become the opposite of their Creator. They were now unholy. They no longer wanted to be in the purity and brightness of God's presence. Like cockroaches scurrying for cover when a light is flicked on, they now loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. John 3:19-20. Adam and Eve were exposed and embarrassed. They felt out of place in the perfect garden. The sound of God's voice filled them with terror. They no longer wanted to be with their holy, loving Creator. He came into the garden to seek them out. It is part of God's nature to seek and to save what was lost. Luke 19:10. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Genesis 3:9-11. Notice God's first recorded question to man, "Where are you?" With this loving, penetrating query, God wanted Adam to recognize what sin had done to him and his wife. He wanted them to admit that they had transgressed. He wanted them to understand that their sin had come between them and their holy Lord. Their sin was the source of their predicament. Their sin was what caused them to feel ashamed and try to hide behind trees and fig leaves. But Adam and Eve could not hide from God, nor could they escape his righteous, all-knowing judgment. God was not joking when he informed Adam, "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Genesis 2:17. Deep down in our hearts, we know that those who rebel against their Creator deserve to be separated from him. Most of us have watched movies in which the bad guys are killed and the good guys are victorious. Do we feel sorry for the bad guys? No, we figure they got what they deserved. The solemn reality is that in God's eyes, all of Adam's offspring are bad guys. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Psalm 14:3. According to the Creator's standard of justice, we all deserve the death penalty. God's book refers to this as the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. The law of sin and death demands that every act of disobedience against God must be punished with separation from God. No exceptions. Sin brings death. It is because of God's holy and faithful nature that he upholds this law. By one act of sin, our original ancestors separated themselves from God's kingdom of righteousness and life and joined Satan's kingdom of sin and death. Instantly, they died spiritually, like a branch severed from a tree. Their relationship with God was dead. Also, they began to die physically, like a withering branch. It was only a matter of time until their bodies returned to the ground. Worst of all, unless the Lord provided a remedy for their sin and shame, they faced the horrific prospect of dying eternally, forever separated from God in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his demons. The scriptures are clear. The soul who sins shall die. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 23. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James 1:15. It is for good reason God calls this solemn reality the law of sin and death. It is the law. Sin's penalty must be carried out. It will be carried out.